Welcome to Problem Corner, more than just a radio show. It's a community forum, a marketplace, and a platform for dialogue on the issues that matter most to the people of Juneau and Southeast Alaska. This is a space where your voice can be heard, whether you're celebrating, selling, or seeking solutions. Just go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and add your comments, suggestions, or leave a message. Now, here's your host, Wade Bryson.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Problem Corner on this fine Saturday morning. It is 4:20, the silliest giggly day of the whole calendar. So happy 4:20 day to everybody celebrating 4:20. I start off the program like this because it's also a special anniversary date for myself as well. April 20th happens to be my anniversary of the day that I became the owner of Subway. And if I look at my documents, I see them from time to time, original lease, original loans, original franchise documents, stuff like that. I probably signed my signature 100 times to become a franchisee, and it all happened to fall on April 20th. And so this particular day happens to be my 20th anniversary as the owner of the local Subway restaurants. And it's been quite a journey here in Juneau. Had two, went to three, went back to two, and following the pandemic, down to just one in the valley. But as I was telling you, it's my 20th anniversary. It's my 420 anniversary. So every time I wrote my name 20 years ago, 4-20-04, I giggled every single time. And so while I just turned 50, 20 years ago, I had just turned 30. I was still a kid. And I guess my maturity had not caught up to it. So happy 4-20 to everybody. And for all of my customers, thank you for the last wonderful 20 years. And thanks to Eric Forst, who help me become a franchisee. So happy 420, everybody. Hopefully you're celebrating appropriately. If you've already forgotten what you're celebrating, it sounds like you're celebrating appropriately. So just be safe on this very funny 420 anniversary. 20 years of working at Subway. All of my clothes do smell like Subway, if you were wondering. What else do we got going on here? Hey, so we're on Problem Corner. I'm not taking calls. I can call you and get you set up for a Problem Corner call. Send me an email, KINYradio.com. Click the Problem Corner link, and that'll send your Problem Corner email right over here. I'll be able to read it. And if you'd like a call, just say, hey, wait, give me a shout when you're recording Problem Corner. Because you can listen to this as a podcast if you miss it on Saturday morning. Just check out the KINY website. Hey, Doug is looking for a lower unit for a Yamaha 250 outboard. He's got a 25-inch shaft length, standard rotation. He's looking for one here in Juneau. If you can help Doug out, 419-5205, 419-5205. All right. Let me see. I got another email here. So this person says, I guess too bad for the Juneau homeless community. We need to build a big warehouse to store all the Chinese merchandise and trinkets that we sell to tourists from Nebraska. Tourists and Juneau family. I'm not sure what they're getting at. 50 residents of Juneau. Oh, so this person is saying that private businesses should give up their property to house the homeless. That's kind of the opposite of what we do here. If it's your private property, you get to decide what we do on it. The social service component. This just sounds like it's going to be a topic today. The social service component to help the unsheltered population of the community falls upon the community. And so there are social services grants that go to Juneau Community Foundation, which then administers the money to the social service providers. $5 million of Juneau taxpayer money is going into the unsheltered service industry. So to try to rag on privately held businesses that pay property tax, collect and remit sales tax. One thing adds substantially to the economy. One thing is a drain on the community economy. You don't take away the thing that pays for it and then say, now it'll just fix it. It'll just be a less tax revenue, which will make the tax spending part of it that much more difficult. So I hear you. And I know that people just say, just eat the rich. I think China did that in the 50s and it didn't work out. So, but I get it. I wish there was an easy answer. There obviously isn't one. If there was, I'm sure everybody would be going over it right now, especially cities that have like a $200 million budget, like Anchorage, where they did like $215 million towards homeless. And their situation is significantly worse than what our situation is. So the amount of money does not necessarily equate to success of the programs, just so that you're aware. Let's switch gears here. I've got something way more positive. Hey, Tanya wants everybody to know that Clinkit and Haida is accepting 24-25 Head Start applications. You can apply online at Clinkit and Haida or call 463-7127, 463-7127. And I have the most exciting news to come from your local government. Clinkit and Haida is super interested in renting or having an agreement with the city to utilize the Floyd Dryden School as childcare and Head Start programs. The very thing that I've been saying we should do with Floyd Dryden, Clinkit and Haida said, hey, we want to do that. And they did theirs. They hadn't even talked to me. They had recognized that that would be a great facility for Head Start and childcare, brought it to the assembly. And then when they said it in front of me, I'm like, oh my God, this is the group I was waiting for. So we have gotten some initial conversations started. How wonderful would that be if the final outcome of the closure of Floyd Dryden, a school that my family or my children attended for like 14 years straight. So to have Floyd Dryden become a child care center with early education in mind. There's talk about having senior activities there because they've had a couple of organizations that have put senior day facilities next to child care or with child care facilities with outstanding results. So Floyd Dryden having to close, super bad news for the community. Having Clinkit and Haida bring a child care, early child education center to that location, best case scenario that we could ever possibly hope to have. So super excited about that. If you want to get your youngster into Head Start, call 463-7127, 463-7127. And keep in mind that Clinkit and Haida is open to all Juneau families. How awesome is that? All right. Well, we've got a couple other things that we can be chatting about here as Problem Corner goes on. Again, as always, if you're listening to this, by all means, send me that information, KINY, radio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, whether you got something to sell, something to say, or just want to get something off your chest. That's the best way to do it. I'm going to go ahead and take the first commercial break. I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. Well, good morning and welcome back to Problem Corner. All right, we've got a caller right here. Josh, I'd like to thank you for joining Problem Corner today. I only have one question. What's your problem?
Well, you're catching me off guard there, Wade. I got too many of them.
Oh, I was hoping to say that you had all your problems solved, but what's your big one? Let's see if I can help.
Oh, let's see. Last time we talked about the labor workforce, right?
Yes, and I have seen a couple of trades programs being advertised, I think on social media, but I think people are maybe just now starting to hear that, hey, we should have more carpenters and electricians and plumbers and, residential engineers. We need more of that stuff. So maybe they heard.
Yeah, well, we got to keep beating that drum.
All right. We will keep beating that drum. So what's your next problem? Maybe we can address that.
Well, next problem, I mean, can we talk about the people who choose to go against the grain and cause problems around town, you know, the homeless people out there?
So I'm kind of glad that you mentioned this. I thought you might. On early Wednesday, 2:30 in the morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, whatever you want to call it, the Juneau Bike Doctor was burglarized. They broke both front doors, and when they couldn't get in after even breaking the doors, they went to the side door and kicked it until they kicked it in, and then broke into the interior door and did enough havoc in there. And here's the part that's really getting to me, and this is where I know you're going with it. Then they went over to the Glory Hall and had breakfast. And we know that because there was a debris trail of stolen goods from our store between the Bike Doctor and the Glory Hall. And the individual was arrested with our products at the Glory Hall. So I think here's the question that you're wanting to ask, but I wasn't able to verbalize it till this week. At what point do we refuse services to the people who are committing crimes in the community? Or should we be providing services if this is what they are going to do to the rest of the community? I think that becomes the big question.
Yeah, I mean, this is a broad topic because there's a lot of programs that we're providing services out there that people abuse. But to just focus on this particular one right now, we are enabling these people to do what they want to do when they want to do it.
I got to tell you, though, the word enabling, people get really offended when you say we're enabling homeless. But I think there's a fine line to, or a hair to split there, because in some ways, if the services we provide help people stay in this lifestyle where they're burglarizing the community, we may be providing the wrong services.
Yeah, and I'm sick and tired of everybody having hurt feelings or getting upset or being offended. Like, you can't do anything these days without somebody having a problem with it. It's just pansies everywhere. It's crazy. People need to, you know, have some thick skin. And if somebody says something that they don't really like, well, think about what they said for a minute. And, you know, you don't have to talk over them or argue with them. Just think about it, you know, and then offer your opinion, and everybody can have a good conversation, because I tend to learn a lot from people that I disagree with.
That is a really good way to handle that situation. I do agree with that.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't care if they get offended when I say that we're enabling them, because you are making it easy for them. You know, our taxpayer dollars, I just paid my taxes this year, and I can't tell you how mad that makes me to pay my taxes when we are providing programs to give people drugs down in Portland so that they can, you know, get their fix for the day. Or, you know, I mean, the list is endless. I won't.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the one thing that keeps ringing here. And now, just to clarify before everybody says I'm just cold and heartless, I've served as a member of the Glory Hall board for the last 3 years. I've employed more unsheltered individuals than the average private sector employer. You would have to go into the vulnerable population industry, those service providers, to find a provider that has hired more unsheltered population than myself. In fact, it was such a problem that my employees were having such a difficult time with housing, it actually changed my business model where I provide some housing for staff because it was so problematic. So I've absolutely been attached to this problem and situation for years. So I'm not just like saying, hey, let's just crack down on them. This whole problem, Juno has done actually a really good job of providing services to the unsheltered population. We've done it so good that we're now attracting outside individuals. So people, hey, it's good in Juno. They've got like a campground, they've got free services. And so we've actually become such a good unsheltered population provider of a community that we're attracting. And that's the one thing that I need to let everybody know. We cannot be the social service provider for all of Alaska. It's not fair to Juno. So how do we manage those expectations or set those boundaries? That's my question.
Yeah, you know, I agree with some services and feel that, you know, some people do have, you know, some hard knocks and need some help, but, you know, have it be performance-based. You know, if they don't have any money and all they have is time, then let's get their time involved and have them, you know, working or doing whatever they got to do to earn those privileges or those programs, because they're not earning anything. They're just milling around that whole the Nugget Mall area, you know. All around that whole airport area has completely, the dynamic has changed, man. It is horrible out there now.
Yes, and if you drive around when the lights go down, it you see even more. All right. Well, hey, I really wish I had a better answer for you on that today, but man, I guess we're just having to keep attacking the problem. But we'll keep looking for more tradesmen or tradespersons, electricians, carpenters, plumbers. Is there like a union office they could go to if somebody was interested in signing up to be a tradesperson?
There's one for every trade, and I think, like I said before, myself and Corey Baxter and a few other guys have been going to the high school and going to other job fairs.
Oh, good.
My wife and I and Corey, we were all, and some people from the mines were over at the Gastineau or the Douglas school there, you know, for all the little kids from fifth grade and down, and we had a job fair there that day. And so, yeah, I mean, there's stuff out there, but there's not just one union hall or one trade hall or anything like that. There's
but if they found one, if they found one of you, you could guide them into the right place, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you accidentally found a plumber, but you wanted to be a carpenter, the plumber could get you set up and send you the right direction.
Well, it's a small town, man. Everybody knows everybody around here.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at. Hey, Josh, thanks for calling and chatting with me here on Problem Corner today. I hope you find some new employees, and may you not be burglarized anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. No, I found some weirdo in my driveway the other day and had to ask him who he was and what he was doing, and yeah. But, you know, everybody's just got to have a positive attitude and work forward and quit cutting everybody all the slack. If we try to make everybody happy, we're just going to make ourselves miserable.
You can make 0% of the people happy all the time, and I hear you. All right, hey, thanks for the great call today.
All right, we'll see you.
All right. And so we will roll right into the last part of this segment here. Super unfortunate. It was a very difficult situation. It's just hard for everybody. We lost a whole day. We had to put everything together. And a person was arrested. So it's unfortunate. And as this has been going on, I have heard from multiple business owners that everybody in the Valley has had to go through something like this. And it's really unfortunate. I would like to see some level of change. The one thing that I did want to bring up in relation to this, part of the discussion that we'd had this past week was were we going to operate the Thane campground or the Mill Street campground or the campground, whatever location? And the one thing that I said as we were discussing this as an assembly is that it is unfair to call it a campground because that's not what it is. It's an encampment. It is a, I guess we could call it an unsheltered camp or an unsheltered encampment. But to call it the Jovial, like Mendenhall campground or the Auk Rec campground, if we call it the Mill campground, we could accidentally give the misnomer that that campground downtown is just like you could go camping out at Auk Rec if Auk Rec is full. And we wouldn't want to send people unsuspecting into that situation. So I'm working with a few folks, unsheltered housing or unsheltered group encampment. I don't know. If you have a better understanding of what that name should be, send that to me in an email, kinyradio.com. Click the Problem Corner email, and that'll send it right over here, and we can help you participate in Problem Corner. Before I go to the break here, somebody wants to know thoughts on Clinkin and Haida announcing that they would like to see Alaska Native language as required curriculum in state school requirements. Additionally, the unveiling of a 42-acre pavilion behind Fred Meyer's for high-density housing, that is phenomenal. And they had a couple of questions. These emails are not easy to read. I'm going to have to get that fixed. All right. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. Well, good morning and welcome back to Problem Corner. I wanted to announce that Clinkin and Haida Tribal Assembly has been here all week. And I want to tell everybody thank you. And maybe I'm saying goodbye as they had their gala event on Friday evening. I hope it was a productive meeting for everybody and that you went back invigorated after those tribal assemblies. I know whenever I go to one of the retreats or meetings, the organizations that I belong to, that's the best way to get reinvigorated about the things that you do. So thank you to everybody that came and participated in Clinkin and Haida's tribal assembly. And then they also included that the board of directors of Sea Alaska met on Friday, April 13th, and they declared the amount of the 2024 April spring dividend. What do I got down here? $1.48 per share from Sea Alaska operations and $1.02 payment from Marjorie Young Shareholder Permanent Fund. It looks like shareholders received an ANSCA Section 7 payment of $7.32 per share. So yay for all Sea Alaska shareholders. I know that's a good day. You get a check in the mail there. All right. Again, you cannot call Problem Corner, but you can send me an email, and I'll be more than happy to read it. KINYradio.com. Click the Problem Corner link, and that'll send one over here. And I got one from Leighton, it looks like. Leighton? All right. And he says, the city has no business in using tax dollars to run a daycare. Why should I pay more taxes to provide daycare to someone else's child? How would this turn a profit? And the idea of Floyd Dryden as a child care facility is not suitable for our current climate in Juneau. So, Leighton, the one thing I'll say is that all of the information that has been provided to us from, like, Department of Labor, JEDC, our Economic Development Council, the professionals that let us know, you know, what we need to do to make the city more inviting to the Coast Guard so that they would bring a Coast Guard icebreaker here. And providing more child care spaces is up in the top three answers in every single situation. The lack of child care raises the cost of living, makes it harder to employ people. fixing childcare is one of the assembly's priorities because, while it might not impact you, the lack of childcare impacts every family that is here in town because of how difficult it is for childcare. The problem is childcare facilities don't produce profit. If they did, everyone would do them. They're a non to have a childcare facility. It's a non-asset business. It's just the space. So you're not like buying a piece of equipment that you're going to use every day for 10 years. It doesn't work like that. It's just space. And so the lease, rent, or mortgage obligation, and then you're just talking about wages. So you can't ever like build up the value of a childcare business. You can only employ people to do it and hopefully collect enough from what you can charge as a childcare. And so all information that we have is that the better childcare you have in your community, the better economy that you have, because childcare doesn't become inhibitive to somebody going to work. So while I get it, you don't have kids, you don't want to feel like your taxpayers are going to a service that you're not receiving, but the entire economy does better when you have adequate child care. And you're right, it's not going to turn a profit. And that's the problem with child care. It's not a very profitable industry to be in. A lot of the parents did it so that way they wanted to stay home, be able to stay home and afford to stay home and watch their kids. So they have to watch other people's kids because that's the nature of things these days. So it has been requested by many organizations that the city does get involved in child care. And in fact, there's like a statewide child care organization where they all kind of come together and work. All right. I'm going to go ahead and try a phone call that this guy might actually know something about child care. All right. Now I've got Brian on the line. Brian, welcome to Problem Corner. I only have one question for you. What's your problem?
Hey, Wade, good to be here. And you know, I don't know if I have a problem today, but one thing that I wish our community understood better is the importance of the maritime economy to Juneau and this region.
Okay, maritime economy is huge and growing, correct?
Well, it is and it's not. I mean, it's really important part of Juneau's economy. And when we're talking about maritime, we're talking about the Coast Guard, and we are excited that there's a possibility, likelihood, there's money in the federal budget for an icebreaker to be acquired by the Coast Guard, and the intention is that icebreaker comes to Juneau. That's huge.
Yes, I did hear Representative Peltola bragging how she served on the Coast Guard committee, and she secured funds to get a Coast Guard icebreaker here in Juneau. So our federal delegation truly believes it's coming.
Yes, and good on them. It's hard work. And then it's going to be a challenge for us in the community. It's coming at a good time for us. We like many communities in America, are suffering a little bit because as we get older as a nation, Juneau in particular, we live in the oldest part of Alaska. And so we're seeing a growth in our older population, which is fine, but we're seeing a little bit of thinning out of our, you know, 20s and 30-year-olds, and that's not great. And Coast Guard, active duty Coast Guard.
Younger families.
Yeah, they'll fill that up nicely. So it's a few years out, we know that, but it's important to get prepared for.
So the few numbers that I have is that it's about $150 million for the icebreaker and to militarize it or weaponize it. And then later on in subsequent years, another couple hundred million of infrastructure money for uplands development to make the community be able to handle an icebreaker. So this is hundreds of millions of dollars coming into our economy.
And that's on top of the approximately 150 active Coast Guard that we have in Juneau at the moment.
Oh, so wow.
270 in the region. But in Juneau, the 150 Coast Guard have 400 dependents. So, you know, if we bring on a vessel, right, we know that they're going to bring a lot of dependents. So it's going to be real positive for Juno.
And well, that's one Juno of the needs we kids.
We need kids for our schools for sure. For, you know, we need kids because it's the future, and we have jobs.
I just had somebody on the line that was with the trade unions, and they need every type of tradespersons, from plumbers to electricians, carpenters, you name it. So we need young families, and the icebreaker is going to help bring it. But somebody was, I got an email, somebody wasn't really excited about the city helping child care. And I said, ooh, wait a second. All the information that we've been given as an assembly is that child care is like the best thing that we can do to help our local economy. Could you clarify that maybe for us?
Child care is really critical, especially in a place like Juneau. And there's a couple of things that are troubling and hard on families, that working families, is that child care is expensive. And so then you have this choice of, do you work and join the economy and produce value and earn salary, or do you stay home with your kids because either there is no child care available or it's not affordable to you? So it is a really wise investment for communities, and I'm super proud of Juneau for heading down that direction. Voters, as you well know, Wade, voted to fund
child care.
Yes. Yeah, through sales tax.
Which is a rare thing, because we normally, on those sales tax, those are for projects only, and to have a reoccurring child care fund subsidized through sales tax, that is a message that the community said, yeah, we'll give you some money for child care.
It was smart, because what it was, because that money's for infrastructure.
Yep.
And that's what we tell ourselves. And then somebody, you know, Rory Watt said it well, many of us were trying to make that clear, is that this is, investing in child care is infrastructure. It's like schools. That's community infrastructure. You need to make those investments.
Well, it's helping the businesses out. If you set up child care, then the businesses can hire more people, which is something that Juno needs right now. And people aren't working or taking jobs because they don't have child care, and that is mucking up the problem.
Totally, totally.
All right.
So I want to go back onto maritime just a little
bit
more.
You got 1 minute to sum up maritime, and then we got to go to a break.
Yeah, there's a lot there. There's the ocean industry, of course, fishermen. You know, one of the things that we're seeing is we do have, you know, 500 vessels here in Juneau, about 600 or 700 fishermen who fish in Juneau.
Wow.
But that number has been coming down over the years, and it's just a consolidation that I think we're seeing across Alaska. As well, it's expensive to maintain these fleets. It's the markets are brutal, right? You're competing on global markets on this commodity. We do fishing the most expensive way we could think of, is we go out and we harvest those fish wild, which is the best way to do it, but it's also not the least expensive way. We're competing against markets that farm their fish, and so it's important industry to support. Buy that wild fish. Don't buy the farm fish. But those are the things we're celebrating on May 4th, the Maritime Festival.
All right.
How important.
And with that, I think that's about the end of our time. And the good news is, I don't know any self-respecting Junoite that would buy farmed fish. Not here in Juneau. All right. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling and chatting with us here on Problem Corner Day.
Glad to be with you. Anytime.
All right. Thanks. Take care. All right, that's Brian. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and go to this last commercial break. I'll be right back with the rest of Problem Corner on KINY. All right, welcome back to Problem Corner on this fine Saturday morning. Give me a shout here. You got to send me an email. I was so used to having you guys call me. If you'd like for me to give you a call during a Problem Corner show, include your phone number and say, hey, Wade, give me a call. Or send me an email to kinyradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link, and that'll send your email right over here. I do have some information about Juno's Recycle Center, and I really hope that you're listening to this before you loaded up your car to drive your recyclables to the Recycle Center. It's temporarily shut down as the baler has broke. They are trying to get the new parts in. We've talked with them pretty frequently. City was made aware that the part was down, or the baler was down. They were able to take materials for a few days, and then it, of course, filled that shop up. And that only goes to show how great we are at recycling here in Juneau. But unfortunately, for the next little bit of unforeseen time, the recycle center is closed for drop-offs. So hopefully you have a place where you can save your recyclable material. The curbside pickup is still taking place. So if you are using your curbside stuff, still do that at the same scheduled time. And I want to remind you, if you've got a pile of trash, if you've done a like a yard cleanup or a property cleanup as this nice spring weather is approaching, and you have a pile of stuff, you don't take it to the dump anymore. You call 780-7800, and the trash truck will literally come to your location. They'll charge you way less than if you go to the dump. And you don't have to load it into the back of your pickup or into your car. They'll throw it right into their trash truck, and you'll get if you have like those big contractor bags, I want to say those are like $1.85. So you could fill one of those up, and then you'll get charged $1.85 extra. You'd have to do like 100 of those to satisfy the minimum at the dump now. So load up those contractor bags, put them next to your regular trash spot, call 780-7800 and let them know. They'll pick it up. They'll charge you like the $1.80 extra. They'll take a picture of it so that there's no dispute, and problem is solved on your end. So that's a good way to handle that. And especially if you find yourself with extra trash now, as you can't recycle, instead of trying to save it up and go to the dump and paying their 100-something minimum, you can just have somebody come and you get to touch it less. So it takes less effort on your part, and it costs you less to call 780-7800. And speaking of the recycle center, CBJ, in coordination with Waste Management, the people that run the recycle center, have sent out a recyclable mailer to tell you all the things that we can recycle, all the things that we can't, the things that you can put into your curbside, which is most recyclables. The one thing you cannot put in curbside, glass. Glass is a no-no. There is a glass recyclable receptacle at the recycle center that you can put your glass into. And there's been a rumor before, and I'm going to confirm it. It is true. Glass is not shipped down south. The glass is crushed up and used as cover material for the landfill. And if they didn't use glass, they would have to import another material to have enough fill or landfill cover to cover up the trash. That's why you see it's like a grass mountain instead of a trash mountain. They only have an open face at a very small part, which does help cut down on the odor, even though sometimes you can't tell. So in this recycle mailer, you'll get it in the mail. I think it'll have a magnet, so it'll stick on your fridge. Take a look at it. Glass needs to get recycled separately. And pizza cardboard boxes, not recyclable in your curbside stuff. There's a few other things that are not allowed in curbside. So again, look for the flyer in your mail and, talk with the family. Explain to them how it can, keep the cost of throwing things away low as long as possible. Once our landfill closes, everything is going to get more expensive to throw away. Everything. Unavoidable. City takes control or city takes ownership. Doesn't matter. It will be more expensive. Everything we do moving forward is going to be more expensive. So if you and your family recycle and we take our recyclable amounts from 11% is roughly what we recycle now, maybe we double that. Maybe we go to 22%. The only thing we're doing is lowering the cost of throwing things away over the long haul. It's just a great way to save the community money, teach your family about responsible sustainability, have that brief conversation, or you don't have to care. You could really just skip it, throw everything away. I do know there are a lot of families that throw everything away and don't recycle at all. And when the landfill shuts down in 12 years instead of 20 years from now, and then the monthly bill goes from about $60 a month for residential household service to $120 a month residential household services because we're shipping things down south because we didn't do it correctly. It will be too late to wish we were all recycling. So if you can do that, recycle as a family, you will benefit Juneau in the long run, as in keeping our trash costs down as we make our landfill more sustainable. Sorry to get preachy on that, but that is the truth of it. If you throw everything away, the landfill will close sooner, and it will raise the cost to throw trash away. The more we recycle, the longer we keep our landfill, the longer we have this lower price of this convenient landfill. If you have a different math equation than that, let me know, because I might be missing something. All right. Trash. What's the other thing we talk about all the time? Housing. And I have an email that says, what do you think of the unveiling of the new 42-acre pavilion behind Clinton and Hyde of Fred Meyers? They wish that land can be used for high-density housing. The tricky part is when Clinton and Hyde make housing, they give preference and reduce rent costs to tribal members, which will not help Coast Guard families. I've unfortunately experienced it firsthand, which my neighbor pays a reduced rate compared to me for the same square footage due to tribal membership. That is a thing, but it is also a thing that any housing that we get built in Juneau, whether Clinken and Haida builds it, a private industry builds it, CBJ helps subsidize to get it built, all housing goes towards solving the housing problem. So while this person is concerned that Clinken and Haida will be building housing for Clinken and Haida members, okay, I get it, except for that if Clinken and Haida members have housing that they're going to, that will reduce the competition for other housing in town. And so if Clinken and Haida builds 100 units and puts their people into it, that could be units freed in the community that would free up for other folks. And I know that people want to get mad when somebody else pays a lower cost, but the more properties that have lower rent amounts, that either helps to stabilize or keep rents down, because one of the driving factors of rents is if all rents are going up, all rents will go up. If rents are starting to come down, that is reflected in rents that people ask. It's a math equation. So if this person's, they respectfully anonymous, they said, if you have a housing issue and you're wanting to have better housing, I would applaud a group that is housing their people. That's kind of what they do. I was mentioning it earlier in the program. Housing was such a problem for my employees that I included that in my business model, and I now have housing that I'm able to rent to staff at a reduced rate, which makes their life easier so they can go to work for me. So what you're concerned about Clinken and Haida doing, I must say that's the practice, helping your people out. I help my people out. Clinken and Haida is helping their people out. That's kind of how it's going to work. So, the more I think about it, as they ask me what are my thoughts on it, I like it. They're helping their people out. They're freeing housing up in the rest of the community. They're not going out and buying housing and then renting it out at a lower rate. They're literally creating new apartments. So that frees up apartments out in the community. So I'm going to say that's a good thing. I'm going to have to go with that. So, all right. I think that has covered enough fun topics, from the unsheltered to burglaries to happy 420, everybody, to the tribal assembly, maritime and Coast Guard, recycling, and housing. Well, that sounds like an assembly meeting. Holy smokes. Well, hey, thanks for calling, or thanks for tuning in and listening here. And if you'd like to participate in Prom Corner, send me an email, KINYradio.com. Click on the Prom Corner link, and that'll get your Prom Corner email right over there. All right, till next time, I want to say thank you. And remember, on Prom Corner, there are no such thing as problems, only solutions we've yet to discover. Have a great rest of the day. I'm Wade. I'm out of here.
You've been listening to Problem Corner, a production of KINY Radio. Listen every Saturday morning at 9, or subscribe everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.